The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Lila and David Sears are a married couple who are not licensed therapists. The following opinions are their own and should not be taken as medical or psychological counseling advice. Relationships today face more challenges than at many times in recent history. Join married couple Lila and David Sears as they navigate the world of relationships in Empathy Ever After.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome in to the one and only Empathy Ever After podcast. I'm David Sears with my lovely and talented wife, who is very uncomfortable right now, Lila Sears.
Hi, everybody.
So today we're going to do a little topic that makes some people uncomfortable, but it's important. It is a very big factor in relationships. We're coming at it from a heterosexual point of view. So yeah. We're heterosexual. So we will talk about how heterosexual couples look at this one thing that causes a lot of fights, and that's sex.
Oh, I'm very uncomfortable. I grew up in the purity culture.
I did too, and it did nothing for me.
You did too, and it didn't take. But I grew up in, as a girl, in purity culture, and I think it impacted me a little bit more in the idea that you didn't talk about this in polite company or into a microphone, where it's recorded for other people to hear. So I think that that's probably where I'm not feeling particularly comfortable right now. So sitting here with a glass of white. So we're gonna do what we can.
Yep, that's what she calls me, her glass of white.
No, this is wine.
Oh, all right. So sex is very important to couples in relationships, because it can help you feel better about your connection with your partner. Various research also indicates that it can improve happiness and boost mental health, as well as reducing anxiety, reduce tension after an argument. Again, the hate bleeping that is real, that actually helps reduce tension after an argument, helps with physical pain, releases endorphins with that, increases intimacy, releases chemicals after an orgasm that help you sleep better. And that chemical is called prolactin. So it is a sleep aiding chemical, and it also helps lower the blood pressure. So it does have a lot of physical benefits and mental benefits, enhancing brain function, helping with your physical fitness. It improves your immune function. It lowers your pain levels, helps with weight loss, because you want to look better naked and you feel more confident in yourself after having sex. So it rewards the brain rewards chemicals during sex, and it helps subdue food cravings and encourage weight loss. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, this is all according to a study done by Sharif Satiroff and Caitly Snyder. No, that isn't our. I'm getting to the point where I'm going to have to get bifocals now.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to my world. Yeah.
Carly Snyder. This was on the Very Well Mind website, and it goes in depth about all of that. Now, it is a very taboo subject. As you said, most people were told don't talk about sex, religion, and politics. Mm-hmm. So if you hear something bumping the mic, that's Dalton, who's decided he's going to engage in this conversation. He has been a eunuch for nearly 7 years now, so he doesn't really have much to bring to the conversation.
He's a cat, by the way.
He is a cat. But there are lots of benefits to sex, and there are a lot of good things about sex, but it is also a topic in relationships that causes tension.
And let me just, you mentioned physical pain. Mm-hmm. there are reasons why sex could cause increased physical pain, mm-hmm. particularly in women. Just one that comes to mind is if you have pelvic floor dysfunction. Mm-hmm. So if you have some level of pelvic floor dysfunction and like pelvic floor tension and, you know, or if you have dryness, or if you have
some women after childbirth, sex is very painful.
Yeah,
if you, for a year or more out.
Yeah, or if you have problems with fibroids, uterine mm-hmm. fibroids, you know, different types of gynecological conditions can cause
pain. Hypersensitive vaginas.
Yeah, can cause pain with sex, and you know. If you are having pain and it is, you know, consistent, if it is a problem, then you need to see a physician about that. And that is something that oftentimes either with, you know, different treatments, there is pelvic floor therapy out there. That's something that, you know, particularly with pelvic floor dysfunction, that can be treated. There are different approaches out there that, you know, a lot of times different approaches to that can be taken, that there are treatments out there for different pain issues.
There are. And again, there are people that specialize in all types of physical therapy. And there are some people that do that physical therapy for women. Generally, it's other women doing it.
Yeah. And it's really cool. Physical therapy, the pelvic floor therapy is, it's one-on-one. It's not like you're out in the middle of everybody else. They do it privately. It's cool. In a private room. It's very cool. The people who do it are, you know, certified separately, like in a specialized course kind of thing. Not everybody who's a physical therapist is certified in pelvic floor therapy.
I know we have this big old notebook mm-hmm. of physical therapy exercises at ATI mm-hmm. and pelvic therapy is one of them. Mm-hmm. And I talked to my boss. I was like, do we do this? She's like, no, we have a place we can send them to do that, but we do not do pelvic therapy, but it is a thing, to help women. Again, a lot of times after childbirth, it wrecks the pelvic floor. Sometimes just the way a woman is built, mm-hmm. she has, it's not uneven. I forget what the,
well, sometimes you just carry tension, just like you can carry tension in your shoulders or your lower back or wherever, you can carry tension in your pelvic floor, and you can carry tension. Just, it's a muscle. There is a huge group of muscles that are layered on top of each other, and you can carry tension there, just like you can carry tension in any group of muscles.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And it can cause intense pain.
I have tense vagina.
That's a thing that happens, and it can cause pain.
Well, you learn something new every day. Lila's mainly handled the women's research of this. I've mainly handled the men's research, but we did put in some psychologists from sex therapists. We got some Harvard grads that are talking about that stuff. So we've got a lot of stuff to cover in this episode. Now, men tend to get very frustrated with their partners early on in marriages. That's because men generally don't have the stresses women do at home. Women, not all women, not all couples are this way. I would gladly say this, not all couples are this way, but women tend to take care of the house duties, tend to take care of the children. The dads mow the lawn, take out the trash, maybe cook occasionally. So they don't have as much as on their plate. So when it gets to the end of the day, the woman has spent all her energy putting out these other fires. Some women doing this while working as well, not just being a housewife. So when it comes to the time of bed, man's got all this energy because he's done jack. Woman's like, no, not tonight. And men don't understand this. And it gets frustrating to men because they think, oh, they just aren't interested in me. And they think that, my wife is not turned on or anything, not understanding that they're drained so much from doing all that other stuff and then being expected to have sex at the end of the day, which, let's face it, man, we suck at for the most part. There are a lot of guys that just are wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Don't think about her needs. And that is problematic. But men tend to go for the sure thing, knowing, you know, I'm going to get mine. She may not always get hers, but I'm definitely going to get mine. Well, and that can be a bit of a burden in the relationship as well.
And for women, if you don't, you know, put some energy into it, then it can be very painful. And if you don't put, because if you're not turned on, then it can be painful. Right. Because if there's not lubrication, then it can be painful. If there's not, if there's not effort put into it, right. Putting effort into something after a very long day of work doesn't always sound appealing.
Nope.
Just putting energy into something when it's, you've finally wound down at the end of the day, just sometimes seems like, oh, I got to do one more thing. Okay. I love you. I'm dying. you know, your children have been hanging off of me all day. Sometimes it is tactile overload. Sometimes I think at the end of the day, particularly moms, and I think we don't have kids, but I feel like I would feel this if I was a mom, have been touched out at the end of the day.
Yeah.
They've been touched by children. I'm not a touchy feely person.
You are not.
Not at all. And, my mom's more of a hugger and a toucher, you know, touchy feely person than I am. She's more of an outgoing person than I am. So, you know, but she's also not, like she was fine with me hugging her and stuff as a kid, but like my grandmother wasn't like a touchy feely person, and neither was her mother. So like, I feel like it kind of runs in the family. I kind of see that, as a pattern in my family. I can, like, it makes sense to me where like children need lots and lots of touch developmentally. They need that. They need lots and lots of touch. They have to be held. They have to, for long stretches of time, you have to hold them in order to feed them.
Yes.
And so, you have to hold them in order to do anything with them, and you have to change them, and you have to bathe them, and they require touch. And so if you're not a touchy feely person, by the end of the day, if you are touching other people, let's say you have multiple children that are under the age of 6, you know, by the end of the day, then how much of your day has been spent touching other people? And if you're not a touchy feely person, then how exhausted is your tactile response by the end of the day?
And the women, they still find their partner attractive. They still want to do that, but they're touched out. And Sarah Hunter Murray, she is a Canadian psychologist in Manitoba, talks about how men tend to feel sexual rejection more intensely than women, and men often start to behave in ways that will help them avoid rejection, such as pulling back from sex by showing less interest in it or reducing the features, frequency and quality of their sexual advances. However, a recent study by Amy Muiz and her colleagues found out that this is pretty true. And it was a three part study. And over the first two phases, the researchers found 128 couples that showed men sucked at reading their partner's interest in sex. What they did was really cool. They had a journal that the man and the woman had. 0 was, I don't want sex. And 7 is, it's extremely important to me right now. And it was just interesting to see the women and men's dichotomy at the time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's hard for men to read women and women. Men, I'm pretty sure women can read men for the most part when they're horny. But it's difficult for a man to get to understand when a woman could be turned on, and they just take the initial no, or they take a maybe as, oh, that means no. And they don't pursue, they don't do stuff to help get the woman in the mood. Now, this is not an excuse, women, to say, dangle a carrot of doing all the housework and then maybe. No, that's wrong. That's going to build resentment if you make the man do all the housework or make him do certain actions and then not live up to the sex on your part. But men, you shouldn't have to have the bribery of sex to do stuff around the house to lessen the burden on your wife or girlfriend.
I don't ever think that sex should be payment for something. Mm-hmm. I don't think that relationships should be an exchange economy. I just don't like to think of them that way. Uh-huh. I don't think that we should set ourselves up that way, because I think that when you do that, you're setting yourself up for failure. That's just my philosophy on relationships in general. I don't think you should set yourself up as what's the exchange rate?
Yeah.
You know, like, what do you expect this for this or this for that? Like, I don't think that anybody is going to feel like what I did here is fair for what I did there. Like, it's, I don't think
like the pit quid pro ro. Squid pro ro.
Squid pro ro.
It's so hard for me to say not squid pro ro, and you said it, and I was like,
Austin Powers.
I was so
quid
hard.
Pro
to,
quo.
Squid pro
no,
quo.
No, quid pro quo.
You see, you messed me up. I had it right.
No, you didn't. You said quid pro ro.
Yes, quid pro ro.
No.
Oh, all right. Anyway, but looking at that study from UE's, I'm hoping I'm saying her name right. She found, and the conclusion was, that days on when men were particularly motivated to avoid rejection, they were more likely to underperceive their partner's interest in sex. So when men reported feeling that they were more averse to the possibility of experiencing rejection, whether it was feeling insecure, having a bad day, poor feedback at work, whatever, they missed the sexual cues from their partner. They did not try to initiate sex and were less likely to report thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So it gets down again to one of the big topics of a relationship: communication. And it really gets into, do you have a good relationship with your partner that you can communicate freely? And do you understand about your partner? Do you understand your partner's cues? Do you understand your partner's needs? It has to be a understanding there of what's going on. You can't just, well, she doesn't like me, so screw it, I'm just going to go away on my own. You know,
well, you have to talk about it.
You have to talk about it. But I think so many couples initially, once that rejection is there, after it's happened a few times, the man's like, screw it, she's going to say no, and then I'll just wait for her. And then the wife thinks that the husband's not interested in her because he's not pursuing sex. And then there's just frustration on both ends because they don't talk.
Yeah, I think that just like anything else in a relationship, communication is the thing that's going to get you through it. I think that communication is the only thing that's going to fix any problem. And I think that communication is the only way that you solve any problem that arises. You know, when the other thing is that, If you are rejected when you make an advance, guys, please don't just jump to the conclusion and take it personally, because 9 times out of 10, it's not personal. OK, it's tired. It's I don't feel well. It's I had a long day. It's I'm just not in the mood. It's I have cramps. It's. you know, a thousand other things that ain't you. Okay. You might be my favorite thing in the world, but you might not necessarily be the exact center of my universe right now. Okay.
Exactly.
You are just not, you know, it's not necessarily about you. Okay. You have to understand that it is her body. Okay. That is involved in this. And if her body is not feeling it, then, you know, then her body is not gonna, you know, her body may not feel up to it.
Yeah. 100%. Because it is, like you said, men, my favorite diagram I've ever seen. And it was, I want to say in Playboy, it was a cartoon and it was turning a man on. It's an on off switch. And then it says turning a woman on. And it's so many buttons and dials because it's a complex, a woman generally, there are some women, but generally it has to be a process to get a woman turned on. And it's not just a, oh, you're horny now.
Well, it's for some women, it's like the control panel of the Starship Enterprise. I mean, it's, you know, it's got to be, everything has to be exactly right. And for some women, it's a once in a blue moon kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And for like, okay. For people who have chronic illness, and I'll speak for myself on this, when we have chronic pain, it is difficult to have a really good day where pain does not affect every single thing, every single decision that we make of, is this going to, like, even if we're having a good day, you still have to make the decision of, is this going to set me off? And is this going to derail me?
Is that the spoon stuff?
It might be, do I have any spoons left? But even if I feel like I have the spoons to do it, it might be, and I didn't mean do it, but like, but it might be, is this going to be a migraine trigger?
Okay. Yeah. I was misunderstanding what you were saying.
Yeah. But okay. For different people, it might be different, but like for me personally, like this particular activity could be a migraine trigger. And it's like, oh, fingers crossed.
Well, I understand that because people who have chronic pain or chronic conditions tend to know what sets them off. And it tends to be, if this is coming, if a big storm front's coming in, that's going to drop the barometric pressure. I need to be on my toes because that's going to trigger a migraine or a seizure or something like that.
Right.
So they have to watch out for that. So I get that. And you know what? That goes back to, as a partner of someone with a chronic condition, you need to know these triggers. Mm-hmm. You need to understand these triggers and understand that, you know, if we pursue this, he or she may be completely out of commission for the next few days.
Yeah. And understand too, that I understand that that's not just women, that's men too. There are men with chronic conditions who can have fatigue, you know, for days afterward and be like, worth it, you know.
Generally, I will say a man will always say it's worth it.
Yeah.
Generally, always. Okay. Generally, I will say a man will say it was worth it. Generally, because I don't want to be the 60% of the time works every time guy. But what I'm saying is it's different. And a British study from the National Survey of Sexual Attitudes and Lifestyles,
Great.
With nearly 5,000 men and nearly 7,000 women aged 16 to 74 who who repeated one or less sexual partners, opposite sex or same sex. One of the few studies that actually took in same sex couples. They wanted to measure why lacking interest in sex for three or fewer months in the past year. And 15% of men and 34% of women reported lacking interest in sex for 3 months or less in the past year. Some, it was because of STDs.
Oh, wow.
Some was because of former sexual assaults and holding sexual attitudes related to normative expectations about sex. There were some gender similarities in associated relationship and family factors where men and women were pretty close to having sexual dysfunction. Some of them were men tended women more than men, but women tended to not feel emotionally close to their partner during sex. Some women had difficulty talking about sex. 2% of the women had difficulty talking about sex, while only 1.5% of men did. And it was interesting that among women, the lack of interest in sex was higher among those in a relationship that was 1 year or less in duration and not sharing the same level of interest with the part or preferences with the partner. So it tends that the relationships that tend to go on, the more you get to know your partner, the better you are at reading your partner. That's not to say that you will still have moments where your partner is not in the mood and you're not in the, and you're in the mood, but it shows that the longer you're with a person, the more you start to understand how they work and function, and the more you want to help them help you, you know what I'm saying? So it's showing that the longer you work with someone, the more, the more understanding you have of your partner.
Yeah.
And, it is impressive to me that people don't get that. And that it's starting to become a big boom, a big boom now. But, when the blue little pill was introduced with Bob Dole, back in the mid 90s, Viagra, that has become such a thing for geriatric sex life now.
I don't remember Bob Dole's association with
you. Don't remember that? Pill.
Not really. I remember there is some association, but I don't remember what it is.
I forget specifically. He poked fun at himself because he ended up doing a Pepsi commercial talking about the blue little can brought him so much joy.
Okay.
But he did. He ended up. He talked about Viagra on something. I want to say it was Letterman or something when they first released the pill, and he was talking about it. But yeah, that's what you want to talk about. Bob Dole having sex.
No, thank you.
But they're starting to study more now.
I thought I didn't want to talk about myself, but now I really don't want to talk about Bob Dole.
So we can talk about ourselves?
No.
But that's something they're starting to study more now with sexual institutes, the Kinsey Institute, sex in people 50 plus. And what makes senior citizens have active
sex? Let's not call people 50 plus senior citizens.
I'm not 50 plus yet.
Boy, we are creeping upon it.
You know, we are. But it's stuff like that that's starting to get more research. Also, more research into same-sex couples. So they're starting to get more into that now in the Kinsey Institute and other institutes around the world. The British, of course, that way. But a lot of people, a lot of men tend to think the only way you can be close is with sex. They don't see any other forms of intimacy.
Which is just absolutely completely untrue, because there's all different kinds of intimacy that that are valid. And there's all different forms of intimacy that you can take on. And sex is certainly not the only form of intimacy.
And two Harvard people, Sharon Bober, an associate professor of psychiatry at Harvard's medical school and the director of the sexual health program in the Department of Psychosocial Oncology and Palliative Care at Dana-Farber, were talking about sex and how intimacy is different, especially when you get towards palliative care. Unfortunately, a lot of people, I know I've lost several classmates who didn't even make 40. They got cancer and they had to go into palliative care in their 30s, leaving behind a wife and kids or husband and kids. And there were different ways to be intimate. Yes, sexual chemistry is great, but I think men put so much pressure on the sexual chemistry, they miss the other ways of being intimate. I mean, there are other ways to be intimate besides sex. There's cuddling. And I mean, I know men try to do the back massage into the mm-hmm. sex, but there's physical touch that isn't sexual, and that is intimate. Conversations can be intimate. Inside jokes, just certain, like if I say to Lila, I'm a tiger from Detroit, she knows what I'm talking about and she will laugh. Nobody else knows what we're talking about, but that makes her laugh. And there's those moments of intimacy that don't involve sex, that are just talking, that are just you being open and honest with your partner. That yes, sexual intimacy is great and physical intimacy is there, but you can't just rely on sexual and physical intimacy to push your relationship forward or be the foundation of your relationship.
Because at some point it's not going to be there. If you live long enough, if you live to be, you know, 103 years old as a couple, at some point, please, dear God, that's not going to be there. Your sexual intimacy is not going to be there, because at some point you physically get beyond the capability to have coitus.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you
well, I mean, one of my favorite songs, I forget who sings it. It's the one about the couple are going to run away, get married. And she puts the letter on the tree saying, don't, Ethan somebody. Oh, I was listening to it the other day. Came on my Infinite playlist, but it's those moments you share. No
earthly idea what you're talking about.
I'm going to look this up. I may put it in there later, but it's a very sweet 90s country song.
No.
And it's this couple that have been there through thick and thin. And then the grandpa lets the grandson read the letter 3 hours right after she's died, as they get ready for the funeral. It's a real sweet, sappy 90s country song.
I feel like this is not 90s country. I feel like this is more like 2000s country, like early 2000s, maybe. I feel like this is like post, like when I was listening to country music, because I was listening to 90s country music. Is it Waiting for Me? Is that what it is?
I'm about to Google country song about letter,
because
Colin Ray, If You Get There Before I Do.
Oh yeah, that's not a song. Yeah, that's not in a, yeah, okay, yeah, I know every word to that. Yeah, in a tree.
She like let, because they were supposed to run away, so she left. She was like, I gotta finish my chores before I leave. And she leaves him a letter in the tray saying, just wait there for me. If you get there before I do to the town, just wait there for me.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyways,
yeah, I know.
I came on and it's like, I'm glad I have that with Lala. You know, I'm going to humble brag here. No, I'm going to proud brag. My wife is awesome. We've been through some shit. We have been through some shit, but she and I have a relationship that has been forged in the fires of Mount Doom. And
our love is the one ring.
It is. I don't think a hobbit could even destroy it. But I think that helps a lot. And I think some couples bail before they get there, rightfully so sometimes. But I think a lot of people are so worried about their immediate needs, they don't see the big picture. They don't understand, you know, I wish we had wild sex every night and forever and ever. That's not going to happen. That's not realistic. But what is there? I forget who said this. You have all those flames, those early flames of passion and eros and everything, but then it burns away. And if you don't have a solid foundation,
mm-hmm.
you don't have anything to go with.
Well,
it's all been ashes. You don't understand that there's a big mountain of love. I don't know this. I'm mixing metaphors, but there's a big mountain of love underneath all those ashes, a solid, firm base you're there for each other and you care for each other.
If you're not friends to start with, then you're not going to have anything much to go on when you're, you know, when you're 90 years old, you know, and cuddling and, you know, holding hands, and
which is so hard for me because Lila really, like, I can hold her hand for 5 minutes. She's like, done.
Well, I get sweaty hands. I get hot hands and sweaty hands.
If I put my hand on her leg, unless it's cold weather, she wants it off. No. But if it's cold weather, yes, you're warm.
Yes. Warm man. Yes.
So
please just snuggle.
I think that people tend to struggle. And I think we are such a sexual society.
And yeah, we're over sexed as a culture.
Yeah. And we are. And I think there are people that need to understand sex, while it is great, eventually fades. You know, I know we're doing everything now with the Swedish penis pumps and all the pharmaceuticals. And it's all towards men.
Well, they're working on some for women, and you know, and I think that's fine, and I think that preserving your sexuality into your later years is fine, and you know, they're working on some things for women now, and I, you know, that's fine, and I don't think that people should just shrivel up and die. I mean, I think that people should be, you know, vibrant and have a healthy sex life for as long as they want to, for as long as their cardiovascular health and neurological health can sustain that. I mean, whatever it is healthy for them, that's fine. But I don't, I think though that reasonably though, again, if you make it to like 103, you're probably still not going to be, you're probably still not going to be, you know, hanging from the ceiling fan or anything.
Yeah. I remember one of my high school classmates walked in on his grandparents doing it.
Eek.
And I was like, so after you bleached your eyes, how
sipping you the unsee juice,
But shout out Taylor Shaw.
maybe edit that out.
No, he's not listening. He's not listening. I haven't talked to Taylor in like 20 years. Anyway, he openly talked about that too. And we all laughed. He shared that at church and we all laughed. So it's out there. If you hung with Taylor Shaw in high school,
magnificent.
But now, what to do if your partner is not interested in sex? And Carly Snyder wrote a piece for Very Mind Well about that. And her emphasis is open a line of communication to approach your partner about the sexual problems in neutral territory. Don't come at from an anger. Don't come of it from a public place where you're at a restaurant.
Do it in a neutral territory
where you can discuss privately and calmly, and you have to take your emotions out of it. All right. If you're the partner approaching the other partner for, why have you lost interest in sex? Take the emotions out of it. Because if you put emotions in it, you're going to really hurt feelings. And that's a rough place. You don't want to hurt feelings. Sometimes your partner has no idea what's causing the problem. They acknowledge, yeah, there's a problem. I don't know what's causing it. And it could be due to stress, could be health conditions. A lot of people are on antidepressants nowadays or birth control. And those can affect your libido as well. So you have to work with your partner. If your partner doesn't want to discuss it, don't take it personally. You know, this is not about you. This is not about your partner failing you. It's a couple's partner problem. There's no single individual in this. It is a couple's problem. And you may need counseling. You may need to get some help for your partner, whether it be medical help or relieving some of the stress in their life. Or if your partner can pinpoint it, such as stress at work or feeling tired, you got to work together to find a solution.
You know, it may be as simple as your partner is having trouble sleeping. I mean, it may be something that's just really simple. It may be something that's just as simple as your partner maybe having trouble sleeping. Some people just have trouble sleeping as they get older.
That is very common. People sometimes become sensitive to caffeine, who've been drinking Monster energy drinks all day.
And don't do that.
And it'll shoot up your anxiety, which makes it harder for you to go to sleep, which means you're more anxious in the morning because you didn't sleep well. And it's this never ending cycle. The important part that Dr. Carley talks about is focus on incremental changes. You're not going to go, if you're trying to rekindle the flame, you're not going to just pour gasoline on it and make it a bonfire right away.
No.
You've got to stoke the flames, got to help feed the fire, make it big again. So you've got to work on it together, and you have to work on it incrementally. And you know what? There are going to be setbacks, just like with any goal you're working on. There are going to be setbacks, whether it be someone gets sick. Like, I don't know, COVID's starting to float around right now.
Because school started, and that is the germ factory of all germ factories.
And kids could bring something home and knock your partner on their butt for a week or two. And then, of course, if it's COVID, sometimes you have long COVID, which you feel completely drained when you're trying to do that, which affects everything. Sometimes you're going to have setbacks. So just roll with the punches. Know you're coming at it from a place of love. Know that your partner is coming from it from a place of love too. And if you both are determined to work through it, you can. And you know what? Sometimes the sex that you had in the early part of your relationship is the best sex you're going to have physically. But as you age, the intimacy increases. You know, the intimacy, because you've been through everything, you love each other. Guys, you lose your six pack. Women, your body gets changed by pregnancy, but you love each other, flaws and all, and you love each other, and you're closer with each other. You're more intimate with each other because you've been through the fire. You've been through the battles, and you understand that it is a closeness between the two of you.
Yeah. And you know, having intimacy is so much more valuable than just having sex, because you can have sex without having intimacy.
Yes.
You can have sex. Lots of people have sex without having intimacy.
Hello, what's that dating app?
Tinder?
Right? Tinder, Grindr,
yeah,
all that stuff.
Lots of people have lots of sex without having intimacy. Yeah. Lots of people have hookups. Like, we have the hookup culture now.
Very much so.
Lots of people are having a lot of sex without having intimacy. That, you know, isn't very good, you know.
And it screws you up long term.
Well, you know, it's
here's the
debatable
thing. Here's my theory on it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not a therapist. I'm just a caveman lawyer with your modern ways confusing me. I think that if you get
nobody younger than 40 understood that.
True. But I think if you don't develop intimacy, if you're just having sex for sex, you become so addicted to instant gratification. That's all you're chasing the orgasm. You're not chasing the relationship. I think that's detrimental to a long-term relationship. When you decide to settle down, because you're so used to, oh, hey, swipe right. Hey, you want to go meet up? Sure. And you go do it. And then you don't meet again. And you're expecting every time you're on a date, you're going to hook up. Like, there's no tub. Nope. Sorry. Tub housing.
We have a cat who is deciding that she's going to also join the podcast. She has very strong opinions about this topic and about gravy food.
Yes.
So I think that probably lots of the younger generation in every generation, though. Like, it's not just
the hippies, and the sexual revolution of the 60s with the birth control
pill. Yeah. And then the young generation in the 70s and the young generation in the 80s and the young generation, like, it's every young generation is having a lot of hookup sex. Yeah. Like, it's not a new thing.
But I think that, and we can get into this on a future day, that's problematic because as the narrator says in Fight Club, or no, it's Tyler. No, it is the narrator who is Tyler. Spoiler alert. The single serving society.
30-year-old book.
Almost. Came out 96.
The book?
Yeah.
Okay.
Movie came out in 99. So we're getting closer to it. Anyway, we're a single serving society where we use it and lose it. And I think that's part of the problem. Now we're starting to see more women search for more depth to relationships while the men are still about the depth of a puddle mm-hmm. or a parking lot puddle. And I think we're seeing a divide. And that was part of our relationship talk about politics mm-hmm. is men tend to seek for immediate gratification. I'm not saying every man, most men tend to seek for immediate gratification before looking at something in depth long term, while women generally don't want to play the games. They want to get the long term bit of it. They want the man to be a man and not be a boy.
Yeah. Be an adult. Yes. I think that that part of being an adult is learning how to be truly intimate, though. And being truly intimate is being vulnerable.
Very much.
And being vulnerable is being open. Mm. And being open is communicating. And that's where building that trust and that talk around sexual things in a relationship really comes into play, because, you know, I think that's what women are looking for in a relationship when it comes to sex, because when it comes to intimacy, because, you know, if we just wanted to have sex, we could get on the apps.
Oh yeah.
And we could swipe right and we could match with somebody and we could hook up with somebody and make it very easy. But that's not what we're looking for.
Women. There are some women that's what they want.
There are a few, but the vast majority of women, you know, are looking for intimacy. And they're looking for it in ways that are psychologically satisfying, not that are just physically satisfying. And psychologically satisfying, it meaning that it's open, it's vulnerable, it's communicative, it is more than just sexual. I think that sexuality is for women needs to be complex, and it needs to be more involved than, you know, it needs to be part of something bigger, a component of something that is bigger than just a one-off.
All right. Now we only got two for the Dr. Linsky.
Okay. A red flag, green flag.
Remember that Dr. Linsky is a cardiothoracic surgeon. His services are not greater than or equal to the services of other.
Still not right.
I'm getting closer. Of other cardiothoracic surgeons. All right. First red flag. You always turn me down for sex. Why do I even try?
Wow. That's a big red flag.
I'm telling you. What would be a green flag?
I would say
Lila hasn't seen these, by the way.
So I've not. I'd say you haven't seemed very interested lately. I don't know what the context of that was. So,
all right, so that's okay. You haven't had sex in a month.
Ooh. So a month. Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay. 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 And okay. So guy's shooting a shot. Is it a guy? I'm assuming it's a guy shooting a shot. Guy. Okay. 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 So could we talk about your lack of interest in sex lately?
Like it. Mm-hmm. All right. Now here's one from a woman's perspective, or at least my idea. Mm-hmm. You never ask me for sex because you don't find me attractive. Why don't you find me attractive?
Wow. So a lot of assumption on the part of woman right there. It sounds like. Okay. Okay. So mind reading is her specialty.
Again.
It's a red flag.
It's a red flag.
Yeah.
And this is a communication issue.
Yeah. Mind reading is a red flag. Yeah. So I would say a green flag might be it kind of in the same vein as the first one. Could we talk about maybe why you don't initiate lovemaking anymore?
Love squeezing.
Love squeezing. We're big Mighty Boosh fans, by the way. Could you talk about why we don't initiate the love squeezins with me anymore?
Okay. All right. So those weren't too bad. You answered them well. Well, I had two.
Mm-hmm.
You get to come up with the topic because I made you so uncomfortable with this one this week.
You did.
You're in charge next week.
Oh, yay.
You don't have enough on your plate right now.
No, I don't.
If you need some help, let me know. I'll gladly help you with that. All right. So this has been Empathy Ever After. I'm David Sears.
And I'm Lila Sears.
If you want to follow Lila on social media, she's on TikTok and Threads as...
Well, I'm on TikTok as Lila G Cat Mama, and I'm on Threads and Instagram.
That's right.
At Lila Gale 80, I think
that's correct. I'm on Twitter/X as David Sears 75, on Instagram and Threads as David Sears 1982. We hope you have enjoyed this awkward conversation for Lila. I'm totally fine with it. She has finished her wine. She finished about midway through.
Woohoo.
So she did not bring the bottle.
Sleep well.
She did not bring the bottle. So I kind of wish we would have had drunk Lila on this a little bit.
We're not going to have drunk Lila on the podcast because then you'll get my real opinions.
Well, Lila, hit him with a catchphrase.
Be kind to yourself and to your partner.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.